Hello, this is Scott Wells for the MagicWordPodcast.com, and we've just finished day two from Rimini, Italy, and the World Championships of Magic here at FISM. And it's been another fantastic day with contests in both stage and close-up, as well as a lot more lectures and a spectacular evening gala. So we have a few guys that we got to talk with today up in the dealer's room, some of the registrants, some of the talent and lecturers. Hopefully you'll enjoy this day then too. It's getting late, so I'm going to try to wrap this up as quick as I can and get this out so you guys can have some fresh material. So please enjoy this episode of The Magic Word. Hello, Scott Wells here for the MagicWordPodcast.com, and it is day two for FISM over there, and I'm here at Danny Orleans' lecture right now. Hey there, Danny. He's with his wife, and we have over here Paul Stone as well. Hi, Paul.
How you doing?
I'm doing fine. Thanks for asking. Things going well for you? Having a good time so far? Good FISM?
Excellent.
Yeah. Now, you come a lot. I mean, I assume you went to Blackpool with the last one.
You assume wrong. I didn't.
Really? I mean, that's kind of like your neck of the woods. So
yeah,
I'm surprised.
Well, I was working in Vegas at the time, so I couldn't get away.
Okay. But you're a producer of other magic conventions, and so without putting words in your mouth, how are things going with this one? From a producer standpoint.
Oh, it's massive. It's a huge,
undertaking.
It's a huge convention. It's Walter's done and his team have done a fantastic job, but it's a crazy. I mean, you've got to be crazy to take something like this on. And but the facilities here are fantastic.
Mm-hmm. It is. I think, and of course the staging and the lights and everything is kind of unparalleled. I think it's great for television.
Yeah, well, I think it is. It's a television set, isn't it? They put it in. Mm-hmm. It's a TV set and. You won't see that again because it's only television that could ever put something like that in. But it'll make a great TV program. Of course, that's where Walter's background is. He's done something like 2,000. He actually presented on TV like 2,000 shows. You know, doing actually fronting stuff. He's from a journalistic background. Now, that's why it is the way it is. He's not from a magic background. He's from a professional TV background.
Yesterday, I spoke with a couple of guys from Finland. One was an event producer, and the other one is a technical guy, neither of which are magicians, but they are here on behalf of Helsinki, which is, of course, trying to be here next year. And so they're looking to see what they can improve on, you know, good things, bad ideas, or things, well, I mean, say bad ideas, things that, that again, can be improved on, perhaps. I think with every convention, you always learn something. I mean, as a producer.
Yeah, no, I think you're absolutely right. I think my advice to them straight away would be don't try and better this. They need to be, if it's Helsinki or whether it's Korea,
right.
They need to do what is what's best for the as in what's the local something local, because to be truthful, they'll never ever better the technical support and the facilities that are here. You can't do it. It's impossible, you know.
Mm-hmm. Kind of point. Well, you produce a lot of conventions.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Well, it's not. To be honest, I don't produce that much. I produce shows and events, you know, in the real world. So mm-hmm. I have a little convention next week, as you know, the intervention, which
I was about to say the intervention. This is going to be the third one?
This is the third one, but to be honest, I only ever wanted to do one, and we did one for Siegfried and Roy, and we got Teller to do his Red Bull lecture, which was sort of very special, and it was only like for 150 people, and then we did it again. Really only because Peter Ravine wasn't well, and Peter was a great friend of mine, and we did a thing for him, and so that was cool. And it was Roy's 90th birthday, and that was really cool. Not 90th.
Yeah.
I'll take that back. Roy won't like that. Roy's, what was it now? It was his 70th
probably
birthday.
Probably close to 70, yeah.
Actually, that was probably his 69th birthday when we did that. Anyway, whatever, but it was his birthday, and the reason I said actually, he had brought 90 people along, and we had dinner, and we did a whole thing, and it was a really special party.
Peter Ravine that Jeff Hobson
That's a different one. That was a Christmas tribute thing. That's the whole thing. Well, I'll tell you about that in a minute. But so we were never going to do one again. But I'm from Liverpool, and
your accent.
Well, yeah, you could if I talk like that. You know what I mean? Like yeah,
more like John Lennon.
Nice. You know, very scouse. So we called it scouse. That's talking scouse. But it was the 100th anniversary, centenary of the local Liverpool Mahatma Magic Circle, which I've been involved with for 50 years. Mm-hmm. So we wanted to do something special. So we'd do it again. And it's only for a small number of people, up to 100 people. Very intimate. It's in the Beatles-themed Hard Day's Night Hotel, just around the corner from the Cavern Club, where the Beatles died out. And it's going to be great, actually. It'll be fun. You know, we talk about Jeff Hobson. Jeff's coming. And in fact, one of the things, each day we're going to do a tribute. And one of the tributes is to Peter Ravine. And we're going to be talking with Jeff about that thing that he did. He was fantastic doing the imitation.
Talk about that a little bit. What
Well, no, Peter, Jeff basically dressed up and got made up like Peter and came out and just, Peter Raveen didn't even know what was going on. It was uncannily good. Jeff is an uncannily good actor, but it was cool. But, so each day we do a little tribute. We're doing one to Johnny Paul, who was one of my mentors, mm-hmm. who was a great friend of mine, and the other one to Peter, and the last one would be to Hans Moretti and Helga, who were people I booked many times for big shows, including like 5 shows at London Palladium. They were just great people. So we're going to do a little tribute on each of them. And convention will be more about, it's a different sort of convention. It's very intimate, and it's all about how to be a better performer. So it's all the people like Jeff Hobson, Michael Goudreau, used to be at Lance Burton's special guest star, mm-hmm. and other performers, Graham Jolly, people who've done thousands of shows, and the people who are coming are a lot of pros coming, you know, mm-hmm. and it's just a very different feel, but it's talking about performing and how to be better and how to adapt to different situations. I mean, like Jeff is touring with The Illusionist, and he's, you know, the consummate MC and link man, mm-hmm. and you know, you come across all these different facilities, and he has to walk into theatres, and whether it's the, you know, Sydney Opera House or it's a smaller theatre, mm-hmm. you know, he can do that. Yeah, and that's the sort of experience I think we're trying to pass on to people. You know.
Right, right, and that was so successful from the first intervention, which was in Vegas, as I recall.
It was the first two were both in Vegas.
Oh, okay,
yeah.
Okay, and so you're taking over the UK,
well,
and you think
it's only because it's my home city of Liverpool, okay. and it's because it's the centenary of the club, and it's, you know, and we've got some cool people coming, as I say, some interesting people coming, including actually Irene and Erica are coming from the Magic Castle, which will be
okay.
really fantastic, good mm-hmm. friends, but some other pros and people, you know, as well. There's a guy, actually, you won't know, but there was a movie made with George Carl, who was the wonderful sort of mime comic guy, mm-hmm. him and a very famous English comic called Lee Evans, another guy called Freddie Davis, and it was called, oh goodness, what was it? Funny Bones.
Okay.
And it was set on Blackpool Tower, where they had the Blackpool Convention, the Blackpool Tower.
Yes.
Anyway, cut a long story short, Freddie, who's now 78, just called and said, I want to come and come to the convention, I want to come and talk about making that movie and working with George Carl.
Oh,
it's that sort of stuff that we're
yeah.
trying to do. So
right.
it's a little different.
And it's
a
fairly small convention, too,
it's less than 100 people,
yeah.
100 people, but it's very intense. And the theatre, we do the show. We're doing a World Stars of Magic show, which will be a really strong show. But that's a 300-seater old Victorian theatre, named now the Epstein Theatre, after Brian Epstein, who was the Beatles manager.
Right.
Lovely little Victorian theatre where, you know, a nice stage, but it's very intimate, and, you know,
right.
which is great. You know. So we're looking forward to it, actually. And Liverpool's a good city now. It was the European capital of culture.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a really nice new shopping centre in the town and a lovely waterside area, because Liverpool obviously was a famous port.
Right.
You know. So, no, it's going to be... We're looking. It's very different. It's the complete opposite to FISM.
Yes.
You know, where there's thousands of people and there's everything, and it's, you know, you can't get to everything. And this, it's all about the people, spending time, quality
right.
time with people and friends, and
right.
Which is good, and it's different. It's just different. I'm not saying one's better than the other. It's just
different. Yeah.
It's very different, you know?
Now, you do a lot of trade shows then also, and do you live in Vegas, actually?
Yeah, we've been living there for 6 years now.
But are you a citizen of the U.S., or do you have to go back and forth?
No, I have a permanent residency, so I'm not
okay.
a citizen yet. I will be.
Are you
well,
fine?
I'll be a joint citizen.
Right.
I'll keep the British one as well.
Okay.
You know, but, yeah,
is that way you have to go back for Medicaid?
Well, for whatever. I couldn't possibly comment, could I? Why would I? No, I have no idea what you're talking about, Scott.
Right.
Sorry.
And in Vegas seems like the center of the trade show universe. Do you find recently that there has been a little bit of a downturn in booking some performers? And I'm not talking about just magicians, but just people to work booths than what
yeah.
there was?
Yeah, and you know, it's not just that. Vegas completely has changed. What happens now is an awful lot of the business and the trade shows, but the exhibitions and stuff that come into Vegas, the companies involved, they don't hire people so much in Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
They tend to come in with their own, they have their own
yes.
preferred suppliers, even, you know, putting up the booths and doing the technical side as well as the trade show performers and for cabarets
right.
or everything
mm-hmm.
else. So
mm-hmm.
it's changed a little, and Vegas itself, I've obviously put shows on there. Casinos
mm-hmm.
now don't want to pay anymore. They want you to be the,
they
want to be landlords. They want to hire you the room, and they don't
mm-hmm.
take the same interest. And the whole thing, really, in the old days, that was great was that not only did they pay you, but they also, by being involved, they promoted because
right.
they had a vested interest. Now
right.
they have no interest, so they don't really honestly care, you know, and
I
it's a shame.
Steve Daly, I think, was the one telling me about how that, what's the fellow's name, that kind of started that going in a different direction. It was Melinda's brother, David Sachs.
Oh, yeah, David. Yeah,
guess,
well,
yeah.
He has the V, the Ultimate Variety Show in Vegas, and he also has the V, Vegas the Show, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean... Yeah.
But he was the one who, I guess, went in and said, look, how about if we pay you? And they thought that, there's an interesting idea.
Yeah, sure. Well, I mean, and the thing, the trouble with the casinos are once they find out they don't have to pay,
right,
it's very hard to come back.
That's
and
right.
A lot of performers,
you can't go back.
And performers still have this thing, I want to work Vegas, and therefore they go in cheap. And once you work cheap, I'm very anti this, yeah, I'm afraid.
Yeah.
I understand people have to eat, and I understand that. And
that's right.
But once you work cheap, you're done. And that's what's killed Vegas, actually. Too many performers now either work cheap or work for nothing, and now, you know, and the fact that I think that's what they're worth, if that's what they, you know, but they've killed Vegas.
I heard that about the Greek islands before it closed, and when they had the world's greatest magic
Greek
show.
Greek islands, yeah, sure.
That towards the end, that they were saying anybody can come, and we won't pay you, but you could just say you worked a Vegas showroom or something.
And that's, you know, and that's the way it is, unfortunately. And the other thing is now, in the old days, you could never, you know, if you're a poor performer, you didn't get to Vegas. Now, if you have the money, you can take a room. People who wouldn't have got within 100 miles before now are actually working, you know,
and go for as long as
Vegas.
You have
as long as the money's there, yeah, you know, and it's
expensive endeavor, I would think, though.
Of course, oh yeah.
I mean, to last even 6 months, that's going to be $1 million.
Oh, absolutely right. Yeah, well, you know, it's amazing. You know,
the deep pockets.
Some people have deep pockets and not a lot of talent. Can I tell you?
And they may last a lot less than 6 months.
Yeah, you know, they do, but you know, there you go. So.
Yep. And do you prefer working at trade shows, or do you prefer producing events?
I'll be honest, I don't do so much trade shows now. I used to do it a long time ago, but a lot of the trade shows. I like a stage show. I'm a show producer. Mm-hmm. I love variety. I'm a variety man. So I love the magic, but I love the variety. The trouble is it's very hard work now because, you know, people love the shows, but promoting it is tough, you know, so... Yeah, so it's tough, but you know what? We keep going. And,
So
I'll be back in Vegas in 2 or 3 weeks after we've been back to England, you know, to Liverpool.
After the intervention.
After the intervention.
If they want information on the intervention, they can find that, or it's a website?
Yeah, we just go on. If you just go to www.interventionliverpool.com.
That's not .uk, it's .com.
No, .com.
And that's two N's,
I-N-N-O. That's it, I-N-N-O. But I mean, it starts next week, so I'm not sure you want to get
there. Well, I'll put it out tomorrow. I mean, the people can do this.
But you never know, and if you're in England and you can't make the convention, we have the World Stars of Magic show, which is on the 15th, Wednesday the 15th, Thursday the 16th of July at the Epstein Theatre, right in the centre of Liverpool. Lovely little Victorian theatre. Mm-hmm. Great cast, so Jeff Hobson headlining it. A really good magic and variety show. So if you're going to get along for that, the prices are ridiculously cheap because... We're British and we don't have any money like you Americans.
I was going to say, you guys, when I was over there
poor
a couple of years ago, it seems like that the economy had hit magicians pretty hard.
I think it's the same everywhere.
In the U.S. Yeah. I went over there and they were saying, we get the same problem.
No, it is. It's the same. But you know what? I think actually if you're good enough, you'll work.
You'll work?
Yeah. Well, I think so. Anyway, but...
Well, listen, the name of the podcast is called The Magic Word, and so we're going to wrap up over here. And so what would be your magic word, Paul? Or not necessarily a word, it could be a phrase. It's kind of like, what is your philosophy of life? What do you live by? What's important?
Family. Good. Family are the most important thing to me, above everything else.
Yeah, that's great. Thanks very much. That was Paul Stone for The Magic Word Podcast. Scotty out. Scott Wells for TheMagicWordPodcast.com, and we are on day two. We just finished talking with Paul Stone about something completely different, but I came down the dealers, walked around, and want to talk to one of my good friends, Sandy Marshall with Magic Inc. Hello there, Sandy.
Hello there, Scott.
Good to have you here. You've been losing a little bit of weight. You look like you're just not eating as much as you were maybe before or something. You look thinner.
You are correct, about 44 pounds worth.
Is that right?
Yes, yes.
Exercise, too, or what are you doing to make you look so healthy?
Exercise, what's that?
Good.
Yes.
Because I've been trying to exercise, that doesn't help, so maybe I should try to cut back on my martinis or something.
A lot of walking.
Do you? How many miles a day do you walk?
It varies day to day.
I wear this Fitbit thing, you know, so it tells me how many steps I try to take about 10,000.
I have an app. I have an app on my...
Runkeeper, or what do you use?
Pacer.
Pacer, okay. Yeah. Well, good advice. You kind of get an idea when you go out. Do you go for different places, I mean, or do you take the same walk every day?
Well, no. I walk more in New York than I do in Chicago, but...
You spend more time in the city than you do back in Chicago?
Well, Susan and I live in New York, but I fly back and forth to Chicago every couple of weeks.
I thought you had a place in both. Don't you have a
home? Yeah, we have a place in Chicago and a place in New York, but we vote in New York. So,
okay.
Because although they let you vote in Chicago about 6 or 8 times.
I was going to say, you get more for your Democratic ballot there in Chicago, you know. Anyhow, so we were at FISM, and how many times have you attended FISM? I always like to find out how many people.
Susan and I were in Beijing 6 years ago. We weren't in Liverpool. Blackpool.
Well, wrong pool.
Yeah. Well, we would have been in Liverpool, but this is our second FISM.
Second one, okay.
Jay went to all of them, of course.
And
in case that reference is beyond some people, I'm Jay Marshall's son.
Well, thank you very much.
And Al Baker's grandson.
Al Baker's grandson.
Yes.
And that was Francis's father?
No. Francis was my stepmother.
That's right, stepmother.
Yeah. Naomi Baker, Al Baker's daughter, was my mother. And Jay, of course, was my dad. At least that's the story my mother was telling, and she stuck with it to the end of her life.
I know that certainly Jay had gone to about everything, it seems like. And so I'm glad that you're kind of carrying on. Of course, that was a great book, Beating a Dead Horse. How are the sales? Have you republished that book?
We actually printed the run. And, of course, it's... 69.95. The reason it's 69 is that was Jay's favorite number, and for all of the reasons you're now thinking.
Yeah, that's when I graduated from high school, so
exactly.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
So he knew I was going to be doing that. Indeed. And you got a brand new book that came out. Why don't you tell me a little about this?
The
one that just sold out. Did you?
The complete. What was that?
Al Leach.
The complete Al Leach. Is that what we're calling it? Yes.
And we just sold out.
Yeah, on day two we had a stack of those, and that one, which I didn't think would go as well as it. I thought Simon Lovell's book would have sold out first because the Simon is. I guess we bought. We brought more copies of Simon Lovell's book.
Well, it's paperback also.
It's true.
It's not quite as heavy as the hardback that you got.
That's true. But anyway, we are very happy to have sold that out, and now the trick is to sell out Beating a Dead Horse.
Let me ask you about Simon, by the way. I'm sure that people frequently will ask. What have you heard as far as help?
Well,
what's he doing? How's he
Simon's
doing?
A great friend. We worked on his book, Betcha, and we were working on a play together about the life of Titanic Thompson, which we finished but needs a bit of tweaking. And then Simon, who lived in New York for the past 10 years, has moved back to England. I think, the national health over there is terrific, and they're looking after him very well.
He's living with his dad, and I think his sister.
Well, he's not actually living with his dad, but he's living nearby.
In home there, nearby. Okay, yeah. Because I'd spoken with him for several times in the podcast, and that last time I spoke with him was like days before he left what he called a loony bin. He said, this is a loony bin I'm in. He was going over to it. And I knew his progress is going to be very slow, but I was just talking to Martin Cox recently, and he said he has been showing up at the Magic
Circle. That's right.
From time
he's been
to time,
at the Circle.
So he's been getting out, at least.
Exactly right. Yeah, and he's looking better, and he's painting again.
Have you talked to him and seen him?
I've been to England three times this year, and I haven't seen him
yet.
Okay. Yet, but we invited him to a play that I was doing over there. Annabelle Gray came to see it, and I said, invite Simon with you, but I guess he couldn't make it.
Well, now, as far as Magic Inc. goes, that for those of you who have not been to Chicago and visited Magic Inc., you should, because not only is it a great store in front, of course, they got an online shop at magicinc.com.
.net.
.net, thank you.
Magicinc.net.
Make sure. But also in the back room, that you guys produce some great shows back there in Jay's Theater, or what's it called?
Yeah, it's called the Jasper Theater.
Jasper Theater,
after
that's right.
Jay's
great
nickname.
That's right. Like his Jasper rope tie, which is great, or thumb ties, right?
Thumb tie, right.
So, yeah, okay. But anyhow, so you produce shows there from time to time?
We do. And we've been there now 52 years, and we'll be moving probably in a year or so.
Your lease is up
so
over
they
there?
Tell
or
well, we own
selling
the building.
Okay.
But
you're selling it, aren't you? Or you're going to? Or?
We are going to. The whole thing with Jay's estate requires us to do that because Fran's family gets half the real estate. So we have to move. I would have preferred not to, but that's the way it goes. And so in another year or so, we'll be...
But you're open to bids for people who might want to buy
at
this point, of course.
Oh, yes, we're absolutely open, and we still have shows. Axel Hecklaw is coming to lecture, and we have Bizarro coming to lecture and do a full show. We have new tricks we're manufacturing now. We
and
have
books you're publishing, like the Outleash book. Yeah.
We have right. We have over. We've published over 400 titles
at
Magic Inc. And now we're manufacturing, of course, Marshall's 10 cards, one of our very popular tricks, and the Magic Alchemy is a brand new thing that we got the rights. They used to make them in Spain, a beautifully made thing, and we got the rights because they stopped making them, manufacturing them, and now we manufacture in Chicago. And we made a couple of improvements, so it's even better than it was. Mm-hmm. And we have a new trick. Well, it's not really a new trick, but it's our new trick, the Lipscomb box. Mm-hmm. And there were only 300 of those made ever, and we have
They're available.
We have about 200.
Did they make them locally in Chicago?
No, they made them in England.
Oh, okay.
And we got them, and it's a terrific trick.
Well, Chicago seems to be the last bastion of brick-and-mortar magic shops. There are several around Chicago. There used to be a lot more, obviously. Downtown, like then it's three-square block area downtown.
There were five.
Don Weiberg, tell me about all those.
There were five in the loop, the Treasure Chest, where Ed Marlowe worked, and, of course, Ireland's and Abbott's before they went to Michigan. And, it's us on the north side, and there's this Mr. Ash.
Right.
And of course, Tim
Felix over at Midwest Magic. Yeah, I saw Tim here, by the way. Too.
Yeah, Tim and Cheryl are here, and we're good friends. People think we're terrible competitors, we're great friends.
There's enough to go around.
There is enough to go around, and we enjoy each other's company, and or at least he enjoys mine. And
about brick and mortar shops, by the way. I had a special podcast that was on brick and mortar. I talked to four or five guys about their shops and kind of the future and what it's like. You're talking about then, Sandy, of selling this within a couple of years. If you don't sell it, are you going to reopen somewhere else? Are you just going to
selling
go online?
What?
The physical building? I think you said you had to move from the building.
The building, yes, but not the magic shop. We're not selling anything about the magic shop.
Okay, you're selling a building, then you're going to move the magic shop?
Yeah, move the magic shop to a
that
different
was my
location.
Question. You're going to continue as a brick and mortar is what I'm saying.
Absolutely,
It's just it's unknown, obviously, because it's so far away as to where you'd be moving at this point.
Well, we're hoping to move, within a mile or so of where we are, but who knows?
People have always beaten the path to Magic Inc. so they know where to go. When they go to Franklin Street, isn't it?
It's Lincoln Avenue.
Lincoln, I'm thinking of Magic Castle and Franklin. You're on Lincoln.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah. And, of course...
I'm thinking of dollars, Franklin and Lincoln.
And a year ago, when we did our convention last year, the city of Chicago changed the name of the street in front of the shop to J. Marshall Way.
How neat. No, I did not know that.
That's that's great.
And that was just the first and one-time-only kind of a convention she did. Is that right? Are you going to be doing another one or what?
Who knows if we'll do another one. Probably in another 50 years, we'll do another one. But we had a terrific lineup. Johnny Thompson and Pam came and unretired just for us to do their final ever performance. And, and we did...
I wonder how many final performances he actually gave. I mean, someone in Magic Live and
Magic Live. Magic Live was when they announced their retirement, and they said that was it. But they unretired just to come and do it for us. And Johnny said, that's it, no more, ever.
Uh-huh.
So, we're very happy to have and honored because the great Thompsonian Company are the best.
They are. Fantastic. And so from here, you're going to be, after the convention, you're going to be still touring a little about Italy before you get back?
Susan and Pedro and Asha, Asha is Pedro's wife, the four of us are going to take a little vacation. We're going to go to Firenze, Florence, Venezia, Venice. I've never been to Venice. Susan has, but I'm looking forward to that most of all.
A lot of things to see,
Yeah.
Gosh, every place we went, Bologna and Verona and
Como
and Milan.
We went to Verona before we came to FISM. Yeah.
We're going to wrap up just real quickly. You've told me this before, but I'm going to ask you again. If you remember, you don't. You can make up another one, whatever your magic word is. Of course, my podcast is called The Magic Word. So what is important to you? What is your philosophy of life? What do you live by? What's your magic word?
My magic word is hippopotamus.
I think you did say that last time, because that was so out of what I was expecting. It was non sequitur that I think that was what you said last time. A couple of years ago. Well, listen, thanks very much, Sandy, for your time. Appreciate
pleasure, Scott, always.
I was Sandy Marshall for The Magic Word Podcast. This is Scotty out. Not even at the end.
So, maybe Scott Wells for the MagicWordPodcast.com, and I'm still walking around the dealers, and apparently there are some hidden dealers, or I should say dealers who are hidden away and kind of hard to find. And normally one that it would draw the largest crowd is stuck in a closet over here. I've got Mark Mason with me. Hey, Mark.
Hey, Scott. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine, and normally I would never have a chance to talk with you behind the booth, but here we are because you're demoing your buns off.
Well, really, Scott, I pay those people to stand there so I don't have to talk to you.
Oh, I see. Wow, be nice to have your kind of money.
Yeah, I wish. No, yeah. Somehow there's an upstairs and a downstairs, and obviously whenever you're upstairs, it's always different, right?
Right, right. And a little bit different kind of out-of-the-way area, even to a different room over to the side of a hallway. So it's...
Yeah, we're in the naughty room. This is the bad boy room.
Oh, okay. So
that's why you're in here, Scott.
That's right. Well, I thought they put you here just because that you could draw a crowd from anything, anywhere.
Well, we have to have some people to draw a crowd, so yeah, it's unusual, but I'm sure as the week goes on, more people will figure out there's a room up here.
I'll be sure and tell them, for sure.
Thank you.
And in fact, that I post these updates every day, so for those who are listening, who are attending the convention, come on up and see Mark Mason.
Scott, nobody listens to this.
I've got 12 listeners, I think, just last week.
12?
I had one additional now, so I'm up from 11, yeah.
You are living the dream, Scott.
I am, this is it, that's right.
12 listeners.
So... And if you listen, that make 13. So we're going to...
I'm not
going to
listen.
I guess we're back to 12. So were you in Philly beforehand at the SAM convention?
I was not this year, no. Okay. Actually, I'm taking a little vacation in Germany. So I was in Germany, chilling out, drinking some of that German beer.
What part of Germany?
The Moselle. So near the Rhine, the River Moselle.
And you had a beer there. I was going to say, that's a wine region, actually.
You're right, it's a wine region. But Trish likes wine, and I had a couple of beers, and then we came down here.
Yep.
And the next convention for me will be Magic Live. I'll fly in for Magic Live.
In Vegas, yep. Okay.
We'll do it all again, right?
Yep. Well, I go from here, actually, and I turn around and go to Jacksonville for the IBM convention.
Yeah, I can't afford all that stuff. You're rich, I'm poor.
Well, I'm the co-chairman, so I've got to be there.
Oh, I see. Otherwise, you'd stay here and drink beers with me, right?
I'd be a little bit longer. Exactly right, mate. So you're going to be going then to Magic Live, and you have been to that one probably every time.
Very, very early on. I don't know if I went to the first two, but I've been to the last four or
great,
five. They're great. I love Magic Live. It's a brilliant convention. A bit crazy, but I like that, right?
Well, it's kind of like this. I've got like over 2,500 registrants or something, I think.
I don't know. He gets a big crowd, doesn't he?
Yeah, you've been coming to FISM for how many years?
This is FISM number five, I think. I've been to five FISMs.
And what's your favorite? Everybody always tells me it's their first, you know. So
this is going to be crazy. This is going to be crazy. We loved Blackpool FISM, and some people didn't. So that was home, but Stockholm was also great.
I love Stockholm.
I thought Stockholm was a great FISM, was really good. And where was the last German one? Dresden.
Mm-hmm.
That was good as well. So they do a good job. It's not easy, is it? It's a lot of people.
Yeah. And I was just talking with Paul Stone, of course, who produces a lot of events, and he was saying you have to appreciate what's going on behind the scenes. A lot of people are complaining that this is starting late or this problem or that. It's easy to throw stones, no pun intended to Paul, but I would say...
Hey, comedy! Hey, where would we be without comedy? Germany! This is Scott Wells Comedy Club, baby. No pun intended.
I think I'm going to go from 12 down to 11 again after that.
You just lost.
I lost my German.
Yo, one German Munich guy, he's out of here.
He's out. And so do you, as a dealer, you don't get a chance really to attend the contest or see anything else really much, do you? Or do you
very little.
Kind of work behind the booth?
The last night, what time did we finish? 9:10 o'clock. And I went back, had a wash, and I don't know, had some food in his bedtime. Right?
Yeah.
So I don't get a chance to see an awful lot.
Yep, yep. And so you've been kind of cutting back a little bit, not doing as many conventions. So are you doing lectures? Are you going to do something? Or can
Not this year. I'm taking... Actually, they just asked me if I'll do four in Canada. I may do.
Yep.
But other than that, I'm just kind of chilling a little.
Let me know when you want to lecture again, and I'll see if I can put something together for you next year or something.
And if you could just find somebody good, it'd be all right, right?
Well, I'm getting down. That's why, you know,
We're at the bottom of the barrel now. All right, Scott, babe.
Okay.
No problem,
thanks
my
very
friend.
Much. I'll talk to you
later.
Oh,
it's a pleasure, Scott. Take it easy.
That was Mark Mason for the Magic Word Podcast. Scotty out. Hello, this is Scott Wells for the MagicWordPodcast.com, and I've got with me here one of the lecturers, Mr. Danny Orleans. Hey, Danny.
How you doing?
I'm doing great, thank you. Thanks very much for joining me over here. How was dinner?
Dinner was great. We're at FISM. It's awesome.
Yeah, and what can you say? I mean, that we are here, and we're so thankful, really, to be. I mean, you think about a lot of people who would really like to be in our shoes right now to see some of the great shows and things we've been seeing.
The shows are incredible. The only thing that's disappointing is that you can't get to all of them.
That's true. There's so many things overlapping, that you have to give up this. And also the lectures. I mean, there are, when you were lecturing, there were, three other lectures, I think, going
simultaneously.
Plus, the close-up competition was going on
at the same time.
And that was, I went to the competition that was just incredible.
I missed it. I was lecturing.
Yeah, now you're going to be lecturing a couple times? Don't you usually?
Right. We have three lectures here. We're doing the lecture on the art of presenting magic to children.
Yeah.
And we're talking about kids' magic.
And what about the reason you're presenting it three times? Because they do it in other languages. You speak in English, and so they translate in...
We speak in English, and they're translating it in French, Italian, and Spanish.
Spanish, okay. Yeah, they have some official languages here at FISM, and so they have people who will interpret. That's why they have then the additional lectures.
It's a hugely multinational convention, and it makes it so different than the conventions I've been to in North America.
Yeah. How is that lecturing for a foreign group where you have to actually stop what you're saying
to let them translator?
I mean, you're on a roll. I mean, whenever I talk, it's hard to stop. My
wife and I were doing the lecture together, and we practiced at home. She introduced me, so she practiced it.
That's a good
when
idea.
She was practicing it, she said, "And ladies and gentlemen, we're going to introduce you to a man now who's done over 4,000 trade shows, 4,000 kid shows."
Yeah.
And then I would say, "Blah blah 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 blah," being the translator, And then she would say, "And his new book is coming out, Kid Show Master Plan," and I'd go, "Blah blah 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 blah," just to get us used to the timing of it.
Sure.
And it was the first time we worked with a translator, and it's disconcerting. It's an adjustment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you'll get the hang of it after the third one, and then you're done.
Yeah, because you kind of lose your train of thought.
Exactly.
Like you're on a subject, but you know what? It's very important to do. It makes it becomes a very inclusive experience.
Right.
To know that you can be communicating to people who don't speak your language, but now they can hear your philosophy, your theory, and your approach to performing magic. It's great.
Right. And have you seen anything of the dealers? I mean, there are well over 100 dealers.
Well, I'm the trick reviewer for Genie Magazine.
Yeah.
So, and I've been so for 20 years now. So when I look at dealer tables, I'm looking for things that are just really different. Mm-hmm. And here, because it's almost all European dealers, mm-hmm. it's way different than the United States. There's one guy here who's just selling outrageous sports coats with crazy patterns on them, which you see more in Europe than in the U.S., but it reminded me of Carol Fox, who you'll remember, who used to wear zebra striped jackets and crazy outfits. Back in the 70s and 80s.
Where did he get those, you think, back then? Anyway.
I have no
idea. I wonder if he got
them
overseas, because they've been wearing these for a long time. I mean, Ali Bongo and all these guys, have always worn these.
It wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah. And I was talking with one of the fellows who is from London, in fact, and he, by the time I found his dealer booth, because apparently that there are some dealers in an out-of-the-way place. I was talking to Mark Mason earlier today, and he was disappointed because he's like in a closet, basically, someplace where nobody knows where you are.
Right.
You probably haven't seen all the dealers. So anyhow.
No. There's a bunch of them upstairs, and it's unlike most dealer rooms, which are four walls and a door.
Yeah, it's a room, and this is not a room.
This is not a room. It's all done in the lobby area. And I do trade shows for a living, and trade show booths are all about location, 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 where you are on the trade show floor.
Right.
And I can understand why some of the dealers are very upset.
Sure.
Yeah,
but I tried on one of the jackets, and they didn't have my size. He said, "Well, we had one yesterday," and apparently.
But they'll ship it to you.
I'm gonna
do a column in Genie. My next column will be products that I discovered at FISM, and I'm gonna give some exposure to
some of those. Outfits that you saw?
I saw a really beautiful puzzle magic trick that is based on the geometric vanish that is highlighted in Martin Gardner's books.
Right.
It's here, which I've read about before, but to be able to hold it in my hands is really neat.
Mm-hmm.
It's a beautiful piece. I've seen you know, a bunch of electronic things, you
right.
know, that Craig Filicetti has.
Filicetti yeah.
has.
Yeah.
And he has something very new that I'm going to yeah. be talking about. So it, but I'm.
But you're not a metalist. I'm surprised you know the trade shows.
Well, wait
I
mean,
a minute. I do metalism
yes.
in my trade shows.
Oh, I do metalism in my okay. trade show. And my wife and I have our two-person
mic. Yeah.
You know,
and, that's why I say we can spend an hour talking.
Oh,
maybe
yeah.
in the future we will. But
yeah, yeah. But there's a lot of stuff here. I really haven't spent, you know, we're just on day two. I haven't really spent serious time with the dealer, so I'm going to do that later this week.
Well, the nice thing is by the time that you finally get to them, you're going to miss some of the great stuff, so you won't be spending as much money. Because on the front end, that's where all the people are trying to make all the, you know, buy something before
yeah.
they sell off because they only bring so many things.
Yeah.
For example,
yeah.
I was talking with Sandy Marshall today, and he
yeah.
had a book that he brought with him that he just published on Al Leach.
Yep.
And they're gone. I mean, he brought only X number of copies thinking he was going to sell more of Simon Lovell's book.
Yep.
And he's got more of Simon's book, and he sold out
you
of that.
Never
this
know.
Is day two. You never know.
You
as
never
a dealer, know. I'm sorry, as a
yeah.
lecturer,
yeah.
you're going to find the same thing after the next couple of lectures that you're going to give. You're going to be sold out of certain things. You're going to think, oh, well, obviously, I should have brought more of those, but who knows?
You know, I'm very fortunate. You know, Jan and I are doing our lecture at the Magic Weekend in Sweden at the very end of September.
Oh.
So whatever I have left over here, I'm going to just send up to Sweden.
Well, that's a nice thing. You've
yeah.
got somebody that will take it back over there?
I think so.
Are they driving it up?
No. They'll fly it
They'll
up.
Fly
Let's
up.
Take the suitcase with them.
Yeah, because I've talked with people who come with different kinds of transportation. I talked with one fellow who drove from London.
There's people that bike from London.
No.
What? Yes, yes.
What?
Didn't you follow that?
No.
Oh, yeah. There was like three or four guys who biked from London.
From London.
They had a whole blog they were doing. Yeah.
I wish I would have seen that.
Yeah, yeah.
I guess I could probably Google
They're
it
here.
Find it or
They're
something.
They're here. You should talk to them. It would be a great
That is
podcast
fantastic.
For you.
Huh. Well, I'm just, my mind is going yet. That just
yeah. I don't know
boggles my mind to think about how many thousands, there must be about 1,000 miles to get here. I mean, it must have taken a month.
No, 1,000 miles wouldn't take a month. You can easily do 50 miles
a day.
A day, so that's
yeah.
20 days. My father biked from Seattle to Atlantic City in 3,000 miles
yeah.
Over a summer when he was 69 years old.
69?
Yeah.
Wow. When I was in college, I rode my bike home, and it was 112 miles, I believe. And whenever I got home that evening, my mom said, "Where's your car?" And I said, "I rode my bike." She said, "You what?"
That's a long
That was when I was in good shape.
100
yeah.
miles, a lot.
It was. It was the last 25 miles that my butt really got tired.
Yeah.
You know, but I had been practicing a lot and riding a lot on the weekends and everything in preparation for this ride home during spring break. But anyhow, aside from that, how many FISMs have you been to?
One.
Including this one?
No, this is including this one, yeah.
Most people say that their first one is their best one, whenever I have said of all that they've gone to. Because the experience is something that you can't replicate later because
it's
there's so many new things.
So many big names in one place.
Yeah.
It's
is there somebody here that you have been wanting to see that when you saw they were going to be here? That I mean, I was just surprised that David Berglas was going to be here. I didn't see him on the bill until
I've never
evening.
Seen David Berglas. Yeah, I'm really
yeah.
looking forward to seeing him. I've never seen Paul Daniels before. I really have enjoyed his Tea Time lecture today, and I've
yeah.
spent some private one-on-one time with him because we're staying at the same hotel.
Yeah.
It's remarkable, you
yeah.
know, to be able to get that kind of time. People are extremely accessible
and
here.
And that's the thing. Even though it's a huge convention, if you
yeah.
get aside and you can talk with them, they'll spend whatever time that you
right.
want with them.
Right,
but, you know, Luke Germain gave a lecture today, and I was listening to him, had some great ideas. I've known Luke for a long time also, and he was saying, too, that my lecture is only an hour. I don't have time to answer questions, so don't raise your hand. He said, however, I'm here for the rest of the week.
Mm-hmm.
See me. I'll spend as much time as you want.
Right.
He said, I'm just trying to get through all these things. That makes
yeah.
perfect sense, you know?
Yeah. It's hard to get, you know, because all of us have two-hour lectures, two-and-a-half-hour
sure.
lectures. Now you have to
try
do it in 60
one
minutes.
Hour.
It's tough.
Yeah. Well, and thinking
and
of
then,
all...
And then you have to add time for the translation.
Yeah. So that like 20 minutes of it or
yeah.
so. I was just talking with Paul Daniels before the convention began, before registration actually had opened, because I did two podcasts with him, actually, through Skype earlier this year. And I said, hey, there's still some more stuff that we could talk about. Let's chat now, because I know the rest of this week when people get here, your time is going to be so valuable.
Right.
I'm not going to be able to slot you in, you know, then at all.
Right.
And so I was glad to... But I had recorded his Tea Time today, and he said, it's okay for you to record it and post it. And so those of you who are listening to this, get a little bit of a teaser that I will post this at a later time. because it was a one-hour event, and I may have that just as a special podcast in some future week. But anyhow, this will not be your last visit, I take it, since you're having a great time.
It's a great time. I hope not.
Yeah.
Love to come back.
Well,
we don't know where the next one's going to be yet.
No, we don't. That's the thing about it.
They announce it at the end?
They vote, apparently. The groups, the hosting countries.
I hear it's between
Helsinki, Finland, and South Korea.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
And there's a lot of politicking and a lot
as
you can imagine. Because it's a lot of money. We can see that this is something that is not like your typical convention, because the people who are hosting it, I should say underwriting it, are real commercial venture retailers. I mean, if it happened in the U.S., it would be like Microsoft and United Airlines that would be underwriting this.
Yeah.
That would be tantamount to what it is over here, who are the banks and everybody who are. When I went
to bring the traffic into the city, a small city like Rimini, to bring in 3,000 people is a big. Big input for the hotels.
I was just talking with a friend of mine who was saying that, well, 3,000 people doesn't sound like a lot of people. However, that I said, okay, well, how many engineers? He's an engineer. How many engineers do you think there are? Well, how many million there are? Okay, well, let's say that there's a million, you know. So if you had 100,000 people at one convention, that'd be 10%. That'd be a lot, wouldn't it? So, well, yeah, that'd be impossible. I said, okay, we have 30,000 magicians in the whole world. You have 3,000 here. That's 10%. That's a lot of people. Those are a lot of magicians in the world.
So where do you get that number, 30,000?
I heard that years ago, and it may have increased since then, but I have heard that as good. What do you think?
Well, I have heard that Penguin Magic's mailing list is 200,000.
No, that is new information to me.
So,
well, I know that the Magic Cafe
Now, that includes every person that has ever bought one magic trick from them, and that could be, you know, Uncle Fred, who wants to pull a coin out.
Or buy a Christmas gift for their kids.
So, you know, it kind of depends how you define magician. You know, do they have to be a member of the club, a member of the Magic Castle?
Anybody that's just a hobbyist.
Well, there's all extensive hobbyists, aren't there? Because there's your Uncle Fred who knows one card trick. Does that make him a hobbyist?
He is.
You know, if that's the case, then the number's much bigger than 30,000.
You're probably right. No, I'd heard that estimate many years ago, and I thought, well, it probably has gone up with the advent of YouTube and other kinds of things.
Yes, I
think so. Of course, DVDs, where people have easier access to magic than we used to have. Of course, behind the counter, and the thumb tips were held hidden away in a secret drawer and all that kind of a thing. But now secrets seem to be open to everyone over here. And, well, we're going to be having to leave here shortly. But you have been... I was going to ask you one last question.
Sure.
I want you to be thinking about this, because the name of my podcast is called The Magic Word.
Yes, it is.
So my question is going to be to you in a few minutes about what your magic word might be. And I don't mean like abracadabra, this sort of, but what's your philosophy of life? What's important to you? You're thinking about that. But you mentioned trade shows that you've been doing since you stopped doing children's shows. I know you do that pretty much exclusively, but do you still do some kid shows? I mean, when you're lecturing about kid shows, I mean, that's certainly been a lot of difference. I mean, you said you did like thousands of them, 4,000 between, 78 and 90 or something?
Even earlier, because I really was doing magic shows, you know, when I was a teenager.
Yeah.
So that's now, you know, the early 70s, even the late 60s even, you know, when I really first started. And then I did them very heavily up to about 1995.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point in time, that was when the tech boom was starting. And I had done a lot of close-up magic, and I was starting to get interest from when I was doing close-up magic at corporate events. People would ask me about trade shows.
Right.
And that's when I got into them in the 90s.
Right.
And so really for the past 20 years, anywhere from 50 to 90% of my living has now been on trade shows.
We're in an ideal place in Chicago. They have just a great place there.
And people sometimes say that, but that is not what drives the traffic. Only 10% of my work every year is in Chicago.
Really?
Yeah, because what happens in the trade show business is you get drawn by a client who finds you or uses you one time. And then they go, well, this is the greatest thing since sliced bread.
Sure.
You tripled my booth leads. Yeah. You actually, the money we spent on you, we made 10 times over in the number of sales we made.
Mm-hmm.
Here's our schedule for the year.
Right.
How many of these trade shows can you do for us at your fee?
Right.
And so suddenly, you're doing 3 or 4 trade shows a year. Well, you only need, in the trade show business, charging what is even the average price. If you can have 20 to 25 trade shows a year. That's anywhere from...
That's a good
living. About 60 days of work a year.
Yeah.
You should be able to make six figures.
Right.
It should be enough for most people.
That's right.
And so that's kind of the formula. So you really only need 5 to 10 clients.
Right.
Each doing 2 to 3 shows a year.
Paul Gertner told me some years ago, though, that you shouldn't necessarily rely on just those 10 clients because they are going to sometimes next year or the year after, they'll either go in a different direction or they got a new manager, and so you should be looking for the next one.
Absolutely right. You're always looking for the next one. And what you want to do is create such demand that you can now raise your price.
Right.
You know, and you know, Paul and I are good friends. We see each other on the trade show floor all the time, and he's absolutely right. And you're always looking for work. You know, you're unemployed. My friend Seth Kramer, who's another star trade show performer, says you are unemployed the moment you walk off the trade show floor.
Right, just like an actor.
Yep, and you're looking for your next gig.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there's some months I'm doing 4 or 5 trade shows a month, and there's some months I do none.
Right.
And it's, you know, with an average of about 20, I'll do 25 this year. And
that's good. Well, I specialize really in the energy business, and so as the oil prices rise and fall, my clients will go up and down. I mean, I can relate to what you're saying as far as that they want me to say, okay, we're going to be in Toronto next year, we're going to be in Quebec or wherever. So we have different, or San Antonio or Denver, we've got different places, obviously. And so Houston is a big area, obviously, for energy. And with my background originally in energy, it makes sense, and I don't have to learn a whole new vocabulary of shop talk, which makes it nice of having to...
And now ExxonMobil, who's a big client of mine, is moving all their people to Houston.
Yeah.
So
I think I just say a huge new complex they're putting into Woodlands, and right now they'll be opening up very soon then, too. But, I mean, I was working at the OTC this year, and I was the only person, the only magician there, and there weren't any last year, OTC being the offshore.
Yep, I know the show.
And the year before that, I was working for Sandvik, which was kind of funny, which they're not a Houston company, obviously.
I've worked for them. Yep.
So, I think that's good advice. You know, as far as the and working trade show, certainly you've always been looking for a next client, but I think that's a lot of other magicians as well that can apply that same philosophy, not just for trade shows. If you're looking for another job, you should always be looking. You don't wait for somebody to find your website, because everybody's got a website, obviously. Everybody's got a good reel on the YouTube, you know. So how would you go about soliciting new clients? What was your best tip?
You know, number one way to find clients is to meet them at a trade show.
Yeah.
Number one.
Well, my question on that would be, how would you talk with another surrounding client when you're working for an existing client right there? Does it seem like you're...
So when you're working for an existing client, you know, you'll do a 10-minute show, and then you'll have a 20-minute break. And then you'll have a 10-minute show, and you'll do a 20-minute break. And during that 20-minute break, you know, once in a while, you can walk away from the booth. And you just start up conversations with people. It's real easy.
But you talk with the... It is easy, specifically
most
those that are right around your area, because they can see
most
this.
People on the trade show floor, most booths, are not competing with each other.
That's true.
You know, in any in any industry, there's somebody supplying... You know, let's take the restaurant industry, for example. The guy who supplies the tables and chairs is not competing with the guy who prints the menus, is not competing with the guy who sells fruit, is not competing with the guy who sells meat.
Good point.
You know, is not competing with the guy who sells lighting or jukeboxes. I worked for a company that made jukeboxes at the restaurant show.
Wow.
So they didn't care if I talked to, you know, the company that sold direct mail products.
Right.
You know, there's so many different vertical industries within every industry.
And then they have their own shows they go
and
to.
And then they have their own shows. Yeah. So
one
that's what's so great about being a trade show magician is that every show there are so many opportunities. You can equate it to, you know, every time you do a kid's birthday party, there's Johnny's friends' parents are there.
Good
analogy. So, you know, it's the same kind of thing. And
this branches off.
That's the number one way to get work. Every trade show magician will tell you that, is being seen at the trade show. And Eddie Tulloch always said, work all 3 days at the trade show, because the last day is the one that the exhibitors walk around and look at the other people's booths, and that's when you get discovered.
That's good advice, you know, that because the ones I usually work say we don't need you the last day because we're going to be half day and everybody's knocking down the booth.
The way you do that, though, is you say, I charge one fee for the whole trade show. I don't have a day rate. I do the whole show.
Huh, that's good advice.
And here's my fee for the whole show.
Yeah.
And your fee is equivalent to a two-day fee, you know, and you just say, I only do the whole show. So
that
includes
that last day.
So you have your carpet for all 3 days.
Right.
You have your lighting for all 3 days. You have your... You have your staff there all 3 days.
Right.
I'm going to be there. I'm part of the booth strategy, the marketing strategy.
Well, perhaps we'll have a chance really to go into a lot more detail about that.
Absolutely.
We've got to go get a seat for the 9:30 evening show.
Let's
do it. You had a chance to think. What is your magic word?
You know,
what do you live by? What's important to you?
You know, my magic. I think you know my magic word. You know, would be marketing. You know, always be marketing. You know. You know, you constantly have to have business cards with you. You constantly have to be looking for work opportunities.
Always selling.
Yeah, you always, not in an obnoxious way, but just be looking for the openings. You know, and if you're doing a cocktail party for a client, before you go to that cocktail party, find out what trade shows they do so you can cross sell.
Sure.
Do they have a holiday party? They have a bank, you know, or do they have a company picnic in the summer? You know?
Right. Right.
So it's really
always a good idea, yeah. And also, whenever that I'm performing, saying, so what do you do? So I do this. And so they don't necessarily know. They don't think about things. They see you in the context of a stage show or in the context of a cocktail party.
They do.
And so if you're doing cocktails, say, well, I also do stage shows or I do trade shows. You do. What's that all about?
That's right.
And so you need to be able to.
They cannot see it unless you tell them.
Right, right. They don't think about that.
Most people
can't. It's kind of like an actor. I think I've mentioned this in the podcast before.
Sure.
Whenever that you are going to be going for a part and they're going to say, well, we really want someone with a beard. Well, I can grow a beard. Or, you know, you have a beard and they say, we need someone without a beard. I can shave.
Right.
Well, they just don't think just that one little step more, you know.
That's why you see so many actors that have been typecast and they only play cops.
Yeah.
You know?
Good point. Danny Orleans, thank you very much. Appreciate
your
time over here. So, for the Magic Word Podcast, that was Danny Orleans. This is Scotty L.
Outside this convention wall,
few of them are known at all,
but we're known eternally,
so your guide like you and me,
is
a place to be,
geese and crows are running free,
all the dealers sell the same,
never mind from where they came. On your bumper.
Honey.
And then tell your contact number.
Honey.
No one uses cards to play.
Honey.
No one thinks that scarves are gay.
Honey.
Hooded leather.
Honey.
Most of us don't rely on weather. Only here. A zombie is a trick. Not on that, but on the stick. On the stick.
To discuss for acts to start and to start.
Well, there was something kind of unusual and unexpected. That last little ditty that you heard was something that was sung by Topaz and joined then by Paul Daniels. I kind of got in towards the middle of that song as they were just, Topaz had been singing that and brought Paul on stage to sing it with him, and they both had scripts that they were kind of reading from because they didn't have it all memorized, but they did have the words along the wall that we could all kind of see what was going on, and then all of the confetti and the bouncing balls and the music, and all was fantastic. It was just a great gala evening. And then it continued to go on into the evening, in which they had more lectures. And then at 12:30 was the great Jabba with an extreme freak show. It went from 12:30 to 1:30. Wow, what an evening, and we still have more to go. Again, this is only day two. So hopefully you've enjoyed this as well, and stay tuned. There'll be some more tomorrow. So thanks for tuning in. This is Scotty out.